Well, welcome everyone. We're going to get ready on our study here. We're going to be today in Acts 18. We've been in Acts chapter 18. It's been an interesting chapter. I mean, they're all good. The whole book is amazing. Dr. Luke, as he records Paul's missionary journey, he pauses to highlight certain individuals who were instrumental in the spreading of the gospel. And this chapter of Acts 18 introduces us to Aquila and Priscilla, a married couple who teamed up with Paul in Corinth, and they traveled together all the way down to Ephesus, where he was asked to stay longer. Come on, Paul, stay, continue to teach us what you've been teaching us. Tell us more, right? But due to Paul's urgency to get to Jerusalem, he was unable to stay. But I love how in verse 21 of chapter 18, he said, I will return again to you, God willing. And the Apostle Paul, I love how he's mindful of the sovereignty of God. That he says, Lord willing, I'll come back. And I'm reminded of Proverbs 16, verse 9, that says that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Have you guys made plans and then suddenly it didn't work out exactly as you planned it out? Yep, I think all of us, right? And it's because we have limited control, limited vision. What control do we have? We have to yield to the Lord and remember His sovereignty, that He is good and He redirects our steps because He sees farther ahead and He loves us and he directs us in the right path. But that is why Paul said to the Ephesians, God willing, I will return. And so he asked Aquila and Priscilla to remain in Ephesus and continue the work. But while they remained there, they encountered a gifted man, a future co-laborer in the gospel by the name of Apollos. And that's what we're going to get to learn a little bit about today. And we're going to begin in verse 24. So once again, let's commit this to the Lord. Father, once again, we thank you. We come in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, and ask for understanding. Lord, this is your word. Help us receive it. Prepare our hearts to be teachable. And Father, we pray that if there's anyone here listening to this message that does not know you as Savior and Lord, that has not stepped all the way to this place, Lord, to this place where you are inviting us, this relationship that you are inviting us to have with you, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So verse 24 begins. Everybody here? Everybody chapter 18, verse 24? Yes. Good? Here we go. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So in order to get acquainted with Apollos, we must first learn a little bit about this place called Alexandria. So Alexandria was a center for education and philosophy. The city was founded and was named after Alexander the Great. And it was distinguished, it had a distinguished library with over 700,000 volumes. Its population was about 600,000, and it was made up of Egyptians, Romans, Greeks, and Jews. And a quarter of its population were Jews, and it was a very influential group. And this is where Apollos had his roots. And it was a highly educated region, right? So it says that here that Apollos was eloquent and mighty in the scriptures. By eloquent, it means that he was educated and skilled in speech, a dynamic speaker. So he could really catch your attention as he spoke. And by saying that he was mighty in the scriptures, it means that he was well versed in the Old Testament. He studied the Word of God. He wanted to know God more. And that's where we're going to be challenged today. Do you want to know God more? Apollos wanted to know God more. He was studying all the scriptures available to him. What I'm about to say is a difficult truth, but please know that I'm saying this out of love because I love you. And the Lord, He gives us these exhortations for our own good. One of the things that breaks my heart is that we live during a time that the Bible is so fully accessible to us in several forms. We can buy this at your local store. We have phones with numerous apps, Bible apps. You can buy the Bible in movie series now. We have so much access to the Bible. But although we have this so much access, there's still people in churches today that although they have been attending churches for years, they still don't know their Bibles. They still don't know. If you ask them, take me to Psalm 23. They're looking for the book of Psalms. Just getting familiarized with some of the favorite characters in the Bible. Either people have become so distracted, or they have no hunger for the Word of God, or they have grown so dependent on someone to spoon-feed them, they have not taken the time to learn how to prepare their own meals. And just grab a passage, just pick a book, and begin to read it yourself, and say, Lord, prepare a meal for me here. I want to know you more. And just to grab it for yourself, grab the book, the Word of God, and just read it. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. And start taking notes on what did you learn of God? What did you learn of yourself? What is He challenging you to do? And so some people have remained in a spiritual preschool. I think some of the Sunday school kids probably know more stuff than we do. and that should not be the case. Regarding spiritual maturity, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 5, and for those who are taking notes, you can read along. I don't know if it's up there, but you can take notes as well. But Hebrews 5 says, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Wow. You are able to discern good and evil. You know how to use this. You have become acquainted with the Bible enough that you can prove that this is not of God. Jesus, when he was resisting the enemy, being tempted by the devil, responded, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. So it says here that Apollos was mighty in the scriptures because he had a hunger for God's word, a desire to know God. He wanted to know God more. And we have so many things competing for our attention today. We live in an age of so much distraction. I mean, if it's not the phone ringing, it's something calling us. And we fill our schedules up with so much stuff. And if we have time, well, then I'll read a verse. that should not be the case. We give our leftovers to the Lord. Verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Apollos knew the Old Testament scriptures very well, and he was able to teach them with eloquence and power. Other characteristic that we learn about Apollos is that he was fervent in spirit, which means to boil over. In other words, he had great zeal to teach the things of the Lord. But he was missing something. Unfortunately, he only got as far as John the Baptist. Could have been that some of John the Baptist's disciples ended up in Alexandria, and that's where Apollos got the rest, you know, got up to that point, that teaching. But Apollos only knew up to John the Baptist. He was declaring an incomplete gospel. He had zeal, but he lacked spiritual knowledge. Romans 10, 1 through 4. Technology changes so fast. I don't know if you guys remember this, but you could buy these GPS systems at Costco or Walmart, these GPS systems that you could, you know, carry with you in your car. And so this was before phones had GPS. Do you guys, anybody, or am I just the only guy that used those systems? No? I see some hands here, okay. So we used to use those GPS systems, right? And do you remember what you had to do every once in a while with those systems to keep them updated? You had to plug them into the computer, and it would give you, like, the latest map of that area. We used to take this GPS system when we went to Rosarito or Ensenada, and it was helpful because, you know, driving in Mexico, you know, it can be crazy if you don't know the area. And so this would help us, but sometimes I wouldn't update the system, and then we would take our trip over there, and it says, you know, that we're supposed to keep on going this road, and there's a detour, and in Mexico, you know, that it's not like over here where they tell you before time, construction ahead, you know, like 5 miles ahead, you know, they tell you construction ahead, and they start putting some cones and stuff. No, in Mexico, there's just one cone, and that's it. You run out of road. That was your warning. One cone, you know, an orange cone, construction ahead. And so I remember my GPS system was telling me to go down this road, and it's, you know, it's a dirt road, and it's, you know, now it's, and then it shows that I'm on the GPS system that I'm going over the water. I'm like, what's going on? It was just not updated, you know? I was working with an outdated GPS system, like having only a partial map. And that's sort of what Apollos was. He was working with a partial map. He only knew up to a certain point, right? So the lesson for us here is that we need to study the whole Word of God. Don't just stick to your favorite verses, John 3:16, or maybe, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to read the whole Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need to discipline ourselves in studying the Word of God. I consider doing a one-year Bible plan. Do you have a one-year Bible plan, something that will guide you through reading the whole scripture throughout the year? If you have questions about that, ask me after the service. There's one easy one that I follow. But we all need the whole Word of God and to have a disciplined time in the Word of God. Not just a mini devotional and just go to your favorite verse and that's it. Because you're going to miss out. If you do this, if we discipline ourselves to read God's Word and obey God's Word, not just be hearers, but doers as well, this will lead to spiritual maturity. This also will benefit others. It'll benefit your kids, your wife, your whole family. Because the truth is, We can only take people as far as we have gone ourselves. How can I be telling another guy to be a better husband if I don't pay attention to my own wife? How can I encourage a father, or how can a mother, you know, encourage another mother about being a better mother when you are not a good mother, right? We need to practice these things ourselves. We need to be doers of the word. How can I encourage someone, hey, memorize this verse. It's good for you. If I don't even have it memorized myself. How can I tell someone, hey, be good with your finances if I'm in debt up to my eyeballs? Apollos was teaching the Ephesians accurately the things of the Lord, but he could only take them as far as he had learned, which was, how far did he learn? He learned all the way up to John the Baptist. John came to prepare the way, and he preached a baptism of repentance. Since Apollos could only teach as far as John the Baptist, that's what Paul discovered when he arrived to Ephesus. Now, we're going to move up. Just look up Acts 19. It's just down the page on your Bibles. Acts 19, verse 1 through 5. We're going to read through that. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Verse 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see? The lesson here is that the benefit of pursuing God and his word is that not only will we benefit ourselves, but it will benefit those around us as well. We're going to be able to take them further. Now, husbands, take note of this. You want to be blessed yourself? Bless your wife. Bless your wife. Read the word to her. Pray with her. Pray for her. And as she is strengthened, as she feels the word of God, just begins to be ministered to, she's going to become your greatest cheer. She's going to be there for you to encourage you, men. She's going to lift you up. But if you neglect reading the word to your wife, you're hurting yourself. You're only hurting yourself because you are one in the marriage. So you need to take care of your wife. Love her. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And what best way to love her is than to love her with God's word. Love her with truly with the truth. Love her with grace. And wives, the word of God, you know, is clear. Respect your husbands. Respect them. They need that. They need the encouragement. we can only take people as far as we have gone ourselves. Verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This is Apollos. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So Apollos, he had a good teaching ability, and his teaching ability opened opportunities for him to speak at the synagogue. After Aquila and Priscilla listened to him for a little while, they realized he was missing something. And I love how they didn't correct him right there in the middle of his teaching. They say, hey, Apollos, hey, wait. What about Jesus? No, they didn't correct him there. They waited till he was done. And then afterwards, they said, "Hi, Apollos, I'm Aquila. This is my wife, Priscilla. And we'd like to invite you over to dinner and fellowship. Would you join us? And we'd just like to talk about more about what we have learned." And so I can imagine them inviting him to dinner and just beginning to just listen to him and talk to him and begin to share with him. And they began to tell him about Jesus. Do you remember John the Baptist said, "Behold," he was said, "Prepare the way of the Lord because he's coming." And Apollos says, yeah, I remember. This is all I've heard. Well, he came. His name is Jesus. And he was before John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he witnessed when he baptized Jesus, the Holy Spirit was upon the Lord like a dove. And the Lord Jesus began his ministry and he did many wonders and healed the sick and the blind and raised the dead. And he was betrayed. And he told us about it. He told us he was going to die. And he said 3 days later he would rise again. And they crucified him and shamed him. And he said not a word for our sins. But he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would. And he appeared to the disciples and to 500 people at once. And we have seen his work. And guess what, Apollos? And Apollos is just listening. And Aquila and Priscilla tell him, "Remember how in the Old Testament it spoke of the Spirit? It happened. The Holy Spirit fell on the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And they were all gifted. And they spoke in different tongues that they had never spoken in before." He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. And so now Apollos is being filled by all this, everything that he lacked. And he received it and he believed it. And it equipped him. I love that Apollos was humble. Humble and teachable. He listened to Aquila and Priscilla. For those who are taking notes, this is something to learn from. Because Apollos did not resist them. He didn't argue with them and saying, wait, Aquila, Priscilla, do you know where I come from? I come from Alexandria. We have over 700,000 volumes of books. I've spoken to the best teachers in Alexandria. Who are you to teach me? No, he didn't take this attitude. He didn't say, wait, Aquila, Priscilla, what school did you go to? How can you tell me? No. He humbled himself and he listened. Wow. And he believed. He was teachable and humble, and he received the word of God and their testimony. Can you identify with Apollos? Are you teachable? Are you humble enough to allow someone to speak into your life? Even if it's a no one, a nobody, are you able to be open to see what the Lord can show you and teach you through them? It might even be a child. Can you identify with Aquila and Priscilla? A couple that loved Jesus and loved people and they loved enough to share the truth with them. They didn't care about titles or anything. They just loved Jesus, and they just wanted to share the Lord with everyone they knew. Wanted to redeem the time. Verse 27 to 28. And when, this is Apollos now, this is Apollos after he had that meeting with Aquila and Priscilla, and now he's got the rest of the instructions, the rest of the map. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, you see, now he can't wait. I got to share this news with more people. When he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Oh, wow. Grace. Oh, this is what we need. Verse 28, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Wow. After receiving the whole gospel now, he could not wait to share it with others. Is that what you do with the Word of God? Do you take notes and apply it to yourself and then, wow, this is a beautiful truth that I needed to be reminded of. Do you take that with you and immediately you want to share it with someone, your children or your neighbors or even talk amongst yourselves? Or do you just say, okay, Ray, how long are you done? Because I got to go to sleep early and I got a show to watch. Or do you, as soon as you get out, you're like, ding, I went to church on Wednesday. That's it. I'm done. You go home. Or do you actually, are you digesting this so you can share it with somebody else? Are you an Apollos? Are you an Aquila and Priscilla? So the brothers, they sent a recommendation letter with Apollos. They saw, oh man, he's excited now. There's no stopping him now. He got the whole story now. Now he's, if you thought he was on fire before, oh, now with this, he's really going to go out. And so they send recommendations letters to those with him, you know, so that wherever he's going to arrive, hey, Apollos is a good man. He's going to edify you. So now Apollos was more equipped to refute the Jews and proving that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one according to scriptures. Can you prove that through just using the Old Testament? Can you? Are you equipped enough to use just using the Old Testament to prove that Jesus is the Christ? That's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament. And Apollos was equipped now with everything. So our prayer should be that the Lord would fill in us what is lacking so that we may more completely make him known to others. We're all lacking something. None of us have arrived. And so we've got to say, Lord, you know what I'm missing. You know what I'm lacking, Lord. Fill in me what is lacking. Give me a teachable heart. I don't want to resist what you want to show me and teach me. Sometimes we want the easy road. I don't know if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress. I recommend it. If you've never read that book, or it's even an audio, I recommend that you read that book. John Bunyan wrote it while in prison, and it's, he just gives a face to things, to principles. Christian, who's the pilgrim on his way to the celestial city, there comes a place on the road where it's so hurtful. It hurts his feet to walk on this road. It's such a difficult and painful road. And just over this little fence, the road seems smoother. And him and his friend Hopeful, they decide, well, look, it looks like the road is a little bit smoother over here. Why don't we just jump over and walk on this side, right? And hopeful's like, I don't know. Maybe, what if it goes astray? What if it pulls us out of the way? And Christian says, no, I think we'll be fine. Look, it seems like the road is, they're just parallel. Look, it looks like they're going next to each other. We'll be fine. And so he convinces Hopeful to cross the fence and start walking on the smoother path. And they're like, oh, you see how it's better for our feet now? The easy path? And they begin walking, and they don't realize that that path begins to stray further and further and further away from the narrow way. And they end up trapped. Sometimes we rather choose the easy way. None of us sign up for the hard way. But Jesus says that the narrow way is difficult, and it leads to the narrow gate. And broad and wide is the road that leads to destruction. And many are on that road. But many times we just want the easy road. And it's to our peril. Oh Lord, fill in us what is lacking. Deliver us from the easy road. Give us strong strength and wisdom and perseverance to stay on the narrow way. You probably have a similar story as I look back and reflect in my life. I realize how God used numerous individuals in my life to challenge me and to edify me. People who have pointed me to Jesus. Some did it without even being aware of it. None of these people have been perfect, but God has used them to challenge me to grow. Some of these are still in ministry today. Some have graduated into eternity. Some have strayed from the narrow way. One of those that God used in my life is in prison. How about you? Can you look back in your life and remember people that God used in your life to encourage you, to plant the seed there, to edify you, to draw close to the Lord? Is there people that you can look back, people that were witnessing to you, maybe at work, at school? And they said, hey, have you ever considered this? Hey, come to church with me. The amazing thing is that God uses all these people in our lives so that we may learn from their good and bad examples. When I lost my way, I stopped going to church. There was a coworker at my workplace who was faithful. He was a faithful Christian. And every time we got paired up, you see, I was in a backslidden stage. And my coworker was a Christian, and his faithfulness convicted me. Just brought conviction to me. I knew I was not walking in the way. I knew I was rebelling from the Lord. And here, my coworker, he was on the way, and I knew it, and it brought conviction to me. It made me feel uncomfortable. It was for my own good. But even he was ministering to me without him knowing. Maybe he was praying for me. Maybe he knew. I'm sure he knew. Some plant, some water, but it's the Lord who causes us to grow. He just wants a willing and teachable heart. It's unfortunate how many times people will grow cliques around these people. They will form cliques around these individuals like they did with Paul and Apollos. And that's what happened in Corinth. And Paul had to remind them. 1 Corinthians 3. If you're in Acts, just turn to your right. After Romans, and you'll find Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 8. Who then is Paul? Paul is saying, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. What kind of reward is waiting for you? Are you running well? Are you going to be shocked when you enter eternity? Hey, I didn't expect, I expected something better than this. For those who are taking notes, here are three lessons for us. Number one, when you stop reading God's word, you stop growing. When you stop growing, you start dying. Do you want to live? Do you want to live or do you want to die? Again, I'm going to repeat that. Lesson number one, when you stop reading God's word, you stop growing. When you stop growing, you start dying. Read Psalm 1. What does it tell you? Psalm 1, it tells you that blessed is the man who does not walk, stand, or sit with the sinners, but he delights himself in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night, like a tree planted by rivers of water. This man, oh, he can't wait. He wakes up in the morning. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this day. Establish my thoughts, Lord. Speak to me. And his wife is telling, are you going to brush your teeth? Yeah, my teeth, yes, yeah. But he loves the word so much. At night, you find this man, honey, it's already late. It's time to go to sleep. One more page, honey. You listen to this. Listen to this. Oh, a certain man. And his wife says, oh, that is a good passage. But we got to go to sleep. We got to wake up early. This man delights himself in the word, in the law of the Lord, in his word. Number two. Lesson number two. You do not need a title or degree or position to lead others to Christ Jesus. Just live it out. It'll bubble out of you. If you are in God's word daily, people will tell. People will notice. Your vocabulary will change. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know how I can tell someone is not in God's word? Just listen to them for 30 minutes. Listen to them talk. They'll tell you what is important to them. They'll tell you what's their favorite thing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you are in God's word and you love his word, now I understand you have busy schedules, you have, you know, you work a full-time job. I understand. Sometimes you're tired. I understand that. I worked a full-time job, an OT and all that. But I knew I could not start the day without his word. I knew I needed his word for the day. I needed to be equipped. As I was putting on my uniform to go to work, I was also putting on the armor of light, as Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I needed to be dressed up in his word before I entered the day. Because without his word, it's like a football player going into the game without his gear. No protection. Aquila and Priscilla, they were just a husband and wife that loved the Lord. They were tent makers. And when they came across Apollos, they were able to minister to him because they were equipped. They were ready. Lesson number three, humility makes room for teachability. It's important to be teachable because we all are lacking something. Be teachable. Don't resist. We all are missing something. So in conclusion, let's take a lesson from the Apostle Paul. This is the last scripture I'm going to share. We're almost done. But even the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, listen to what he writes here in Philippians 3, 7 to 16. You guys still with me? Nobody's falling asleep? Okay. The Apostle Paul says in chapter 3, verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Wow, everything that I have done in the past, all those degrees, all those good works, they are nothing. They are nothing compared to knowing Jesus. Verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." This is where most Christians stop. Wait. You telling me that being a Christian includes suffering? No, I thought you said God has a beautiful plan for your life and everything's going to be nice and dandy. And no. You want to be godly? You got to be in the narrow way. And the narrow way is difficult. It says right there in verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." If there's something that you do not understand right now, God will reveal even this to you. Just be teachable. Are you teachable? Are you hungry? The Lord wants to do more. He's not done with us. He's still writing upon our hearts. And so this is where we need to be. Lord, fill in me what is lacking. And maybe for those who are watching online, or if anyone is here and this is foreign to you. This is like, I don't understand what you said. I don't understand this about what you just read. This is spiritually discerned. And you need the Holy Spirit to understand this. The natural man is not interested in this. The natural man, he hates this. He's not interested because it reminds us that we are sinners. It reminds us that we are lost without Jesus. And no, we want a formula, a help yourself formula. But no, We have to all come to that place where we, at the foot of the cross, level ground, where we all admit we need Jesus. We need him. And it begins with first asking him, first agreeing with him that we have sinned, agreeing that only he is righteous, only he is holy, only he can wash us of our sins. And that's what he did on the cross. And the word of God says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a promise to all. And so if you have become aware that, you know what, maybe I have never been born again, well, today's the day. Okay, so let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for reminding us today of how we can, all of us, Lord, we can identify either with Apollos, knowing that we only know so much and we are lacking. And we need the rest of the story, Lord. We need the rest of the account to be equipped, to be a blessing to our families, to those you send us to, Lord. We ask that you would fill in us what is lacking. Lord, if you have blessed us as Aquila and Priscilla, help us, Lord, to be diligent to share the good news with those around us and not to be afraid to share the good news, but to be looking for open doors, to pray for open doors that we might share you. And Father, if there's anyone listening to this message today that has never committed their, opened their hearts to you, today let it be the day of salvation, Lord, the day of repentance. Bless us, Lord, with godly sorrow which leads to repentance, and that we may cry out to you and say, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you sent your son Jesus, who died upon the cross, who rose from the dead on the third day according to Scripture for my justification. I receive you. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Father, we thank you for not leaving us in a state of death, but while we were yet sinners, providing a way for us, Lord, to be brought back to life through the blood of your Son, Jesus, through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. Help us to apply it and to live it out. For the glory of your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.